This is KCUR 89.3. In 2013, Congress voted to require domestic abuse service providers who received federal funds to offer help to people in same-sex relationships. But many advocates say that LGBT people still have far less support available to them than what has traditionally been there for women escaping violence from men. To help fill the gaps, the Kansas City Anti-Violence Project opened a center this year to provide support for people in the Great Plains region. But the group's executive director, Justin Shaw, told KCUR's Alex Smith that there's still a lot of resistance, both inside and outside the community, to facing the problem.
People have for a long time looked at gay and lesbian and trans folks and bisexual folks in same-gender relationships as devious already. And so, well, of course, two guys are going to get in a fight. You know, men are naturally violent, you know, so of course two gay men are going to get a fight. And it's just a fight. It's not violence. You know, domestic violence only happens to a woman from a man, from her husband, because that's the story that we've heard for so long. And people only talking about domestic violence victims as being her and things like that. When it comes to sexual violence, again, we are looked at as a sexually deviant community. So any sexual assault that could happen sometimes is looked at as like you wanted that, or you know, the violence is just naturally part of that. And I think that internalized homophobia within that, I think, affects a lot of people from reaching out and seeking services.
I wonder, is there resistance within the community from people who say they want to protect the image of people like them?
That is a huge thing. I mean, people often said, well, people already look at us bad enough. Like, do you want to go and report that as well? We just got marriage equality. Why do you want to go talk about the problems in your relationship to everybody? And I think that there's a lot of politic within the LGBTQ community about that, as far as there's definitely groups of people that want to normalize the LGBTQ community and or assimilate us into we're just the same as everybody else, which in reality, nobody is the same as anybody else. And so to approach it from to approach life from that kind of standpoint is really dangerous, because you're not addressing specific needs of specific community members.
Are there particular issues or factors that more often lead to abuse in same-sex relationships?
I think it's a lack of education about that it can happen to us. And I think that's education to the community. I think that we try to get that information out there, but, you know, do an outreach at a bar on a Saturday night, people don't want to talk about violence and abuse. They're to escape the week of whatever has, you know, has faced them, whether that be just discrimination or having to stay in the closet at their job. So just realization from people in the community that this violence happens first, you know, and that there are people and services available, you know, for them.
Why reach out beyond Kansas City to provide these services?
I think that Kansas City and St. Louis both have really vibrant LGBTQ communities, which is really exciting. And I think that being in the middle kind of the map, so to speak, and then having these very kind of rural areas, not a lot of big cities in the states around us, I think that we are naturally a haven for people to kind of come to as far as city-wise. And so it's important for us to kind of be located and kind of based within there. But we do know that a lot of people don't want to leave, you know, don't want to leave their homes. If they consider themselves a country person, or like they are a farmer and they love farming, why should they have to leave their home, you know, and escape to the city where they don't know anybody, you know? And it's not always certain that they'll find a community here, you know? I mean, there's people here, but as far as finding that feeling of community, that's not always, you know, a guarantee.
So what kind of help are you able to offer someone from, say, Western Kansas?
Well, we can start on the phone, and this is something we do quite often, actually. We get calls from rural areas and kind of start on the phone, try to assess, you know, safety needs. Part of the education and outreach that we do across those two states is not just to get people to become more inclusive, but it's also to help our referral base. So we know of organizations that are actually competent, that aren't just saying that they're, you know, culturally competent. And so we can try to connect people with resources that are close to them. If there aren't any, like, our therapists can do phone therapy. If somebody really wants to come to Kansas City, we have funding to get transportation, you know, here. But like I said, that's not always everyone's, you know, situation. So trying to provide support to those folks however we can, and oftentimes that looks like, you know, regular checkups by phone and that kind of support and being there.